At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Extra Dara coming right at you. All right, here's what's going on today. Yeah, I can't even believe it. Heading into the state fair on Thursday. I'm going to be out there tomorrow with my fedora on, my magnifying glass, trying to find out the little things before I get rolling into it. Ugh! It's all coming, and then I can't even believe it. State fair, then you just go barreling into Halloween. My kids are already talking about their costumes. If you haven't spent time with kids, that's one of the things we talk about all the time. You think, oh, they talk about it in January. They talk about it at Christmas. They talk about it just, it's just an interesting thing to talk about all year round. But then when they talk about it in August, all of a sudden you just feel like someone walked over your grave. You're like, oh no, this is a thing. So that's like in my head, here's how life goes. It goes state fair, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's like just a tumble, right? Until you get into the reading season. So I'm a little bit freaked out today, but I don't know. I've got Mike Brown here. Mike Brown is one of the people who founded Travail. He seems to have cracked the code on how to have a restaurant in this universe where we're so ADD and everybody just wants a new thing every 2.5 minutes. So we're going to find out how to do all that. But guess what? I got him here for 1.5 hour. So that's a beautiful thing. We're going to get to talk to Mike for quite a bit. Do you want to talk to us? If you do, the phone number, you don't have it memorized by now. It is 651. Oh, wait, I've lost the right thing.
That'd be pretty sweet to have a caller come in on this one.
It would be.
I've never had that.
It doesn't happen enough. It does happen, though.
Ask me a question. Let's
all right, 651-989-9226. My brain just left me. I hit the word Halloween, and all of a sudden, it was out the door. All right, 651-989-9226. So, Mike Brown, does he need an introduction? Travail has just basically taken over the small northern town of Robbinsdale, Minnesota, and remade it in their image. Three founding chef partners kind of took over a scrappy, scruffy diner, and the rest is history. That was 9 years ago?
Nine years ago. We were 9 years old in July.
So. Nine in July. That sounds good.
The crazy thing is that we're not even in Robbinsdale right now. Well, Travail isn't. It's over in Uptown.
That's true. You've taken over. Okay, so the reason
the pizza restaurant's
that you're
still there.
Well, by the time this is all done, they're going to have to just turn Robbinsdale into Travail Town because you'll have three main buildings in Main Street. But, okay, so the reason that you are currently in the old Auriga space off the corner of Franklin and Hennepin, and kind of that quasi-district between uptown and downtown.
Right off the Lowry Hill meets.
Right there. The reason you are there is because you're rebuilding. You're building a new Travail.
Yep.
And so you need somewhere else to be for the time being.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been like a wild ride. We've been, you know, we designed it with Peterson Keller Architecture. It took like a year to design, and we've been building. It'll be once it's done. We've been building for just over a year. So it's like a 2-year project. It's like writing a book, which you've done. I don't know who I was when this started, and I don't know who I will be when it's over type of thing. It's just been a long ride.
Yeah, so you were okay, so here's the question. Everybody wants to know kind of what you're up to. In the meantime, you opened Minnesota Barbecue. How's
That's right.
You got a tiny, tiny 700 square foot barbecue thing in Northeast Minneapolis now.
So Kale Tommy, one of the chefs that helped us open Travail, we actually partnered with him, and we scooped up this little building. It was like 5 years ago now, and it took us about 3.5-4 years to actually get it rezoned, and then we built it ourselves. We built it out ourselves. We tore everything down inside of it, put the beams up, and contracted it so that we could put a big old smoker in there. We built our own smoker,
a walk-in smoker,
as it were.
It
pretty much is, yeah. You can hang like 3 whole hogs in there if you wanted to, vertically though. So it's one. Normally you see the ones that are kind of working in like that.
They lay them down on a screen.
This
or
one's
a
more of a carousel. It actually goes, like, it's upright. So it's quite impressive, and it definitely smokes some good meat, that's for sure. People are loving it.
You guys have been you always keep your expenses low by things like that, right? I was just talking to you in the green room. You said you got a new pizza oven for Pig Ate My Pizza by driving into the hinterlands of Wisconsin with 12 grand in your pocket
the whole story is kind of crazy, actually. It was like we had this dream oven that we wanted because we never wanted to do a wood-fired oven. We always liked cooking on a hearth because we liked our crust to be like almost like a baguette, like nice, really nice crunchiness to it. And we were always using Blodgett and different ovens. We've gone through about 3 different ovens, and then there's this dream oven. It's called a Marsal. And to buy one new, it's like between $40,000 and $50,000, and it's like, well, that's not going to happen, you know. It's like
that's a lot of pizzas,
you know. And you're just like, just this huge thing. You're like, that's never going to happen. So I was just like on a whim. I was just like, all right, I'm going to go on Craigslist and see if there's anything out there. Just type in Marsal. Maybe there's like a little one or something that's interesting else that they make. So there's one on there, and it's listed with equipment, and I'm like, it's like 10 different pieces of equipment, and one of them is this Marsal oven. And I call the guy, and I'm like, so what is this? He's like, it's $12,000 for all this equipment. I'm like, what's this Marsal oven? And I'm like, there's no way it's the double stack Marsal oven that I've wanted forever. And he's like, yeah, it's like this double stack Marsal oven. It's only 8 years old. This guy, you know, he had a restaurant here, and he closed up, and I ended up getting all of his equipment, and I want to change it into an office space. So I'm just trying to get all this equipment out of here.
Oh,
and
funny.
I'm like, so it works. He's like, yeah, I mean, it really wasn't even used that much. It's almost like brand new. And I'm like, I'll be there in an hour. And I'm like checking Google Maps. I'm like, in 15 minutes, I like looked at James and Bob. I'm like, I got to go. I'm going to go check this out. So I went back, you know, it's always fun traveling with $12,000 in your back pocket.
That would make me so nervous. I just think the whole thing was a robbery.
He sounded pretty genuine on the phone. I was like, all right, this is going to be cool. If this is something that's real, this is a game changer. And it was. And we ended up working with the used equipment company. I'm like, hey, because they're really hard to move. They're humongous ovens. And I basically was like, hey, can you move this oven for us? And you can have all the other equipment that's in this thing. You can just take all the rest of it and just get this to this place. And they're like, yeah, for sure. And that's how we got our oven, and it cooks up really nice pie. The thing about it is the oven it's a hearth.
Okay, kids, that's how you make that's how you save money in today's economy.
Wheeling and a dealing. Yeah, it's got the stone goes over the top and through the back. So it retains
the stone. The stone being the thing that holds the heat within the oven. Okay.
Right. So every time it opens and closes, other ovens, the temperature drops. But this one, it just retains its heat so well. It cooks a really perfect pie. It's really good.
That is a thing that you can see at different if you go to Birch Pizza in the basement there, you can just watch the temperature. They have a little digital readout, and it's kind of interesting to see. You know, every time they kind of mess with it, the temperature goes down, put wood in, and then 2 minutes later, the temperature goes up.
And that's a wood-fired oven. Those stay so hot. Like there's never an issue of heat going down. It's just always like a hot oven.
The biggest wood-fired oven possibly in North America, I think it is the one in Bloom inside Keg and Case in St. Paul on 7th Street. If you guys haven't been there, you should go.
Those guys are
killing
it, man.
The other day. But I happened to be just kind of visiting with a friend, and we were staying late and watched them break down that oven and the fire line. And so what they do is they just kind of start taking every bit of coal that's left over and putting it in the pizza oven part, And that was very interesting because you could watch the digital read on the that oven too, and kind of see the temperature that they leave it on at night.
Coal work, man. They have like coal shovels. They're like, they're moving it like they're shoveling it in there like it's like a locomotive. You know,
it looks like an old to me because I don't know that much about life, but it looks to me like an old WPA mural. You know, of those strong men.
You ever talk to those guys and gals that work those lines, that those fire lines? I mean, they're like, I'm like, how does your back feel? They're like, it's like roasting hot.
I watched somebody once, just, you know, because you're just in there and it's you're just watching them. If you want to, there's a way you can sit at the counter and it's like you're just staring at them work this fire, which is to me fascinating. It's the most interesting thing you could look at. I think the two most interesting things a human being can look at is like a baby and a fire. Like those are the two things. And so I just look at that. But I did notice one night this one line cook. I mean, he must have drank 3 gallons of water while I was watching him. It looks like the hottest work possible.
It is.
But then the fire never goes out. It's like
you just keep it rolling.
A beautiful symbol about American ingenuity or something. It's like they load all the coals into the one part of it at night, and in the somebody shows up at 5 a.m. and starts building the fire again.
Yeah, Kayla at Minnesota Barbecue, when they start their fire at 8 a.m. and barbecue is ready by that barbecue is ready by 4:00. So he's cooking his briskets at 7:38 a.m. And that's like, he just starts this massive fire in this, in the fire chamber. And it just slowly cooks this meat up to 200 degrees. It's crazy.
I think that's why we've had such a fascination with barbecue in this country in the last year or 10 years or so. Really a big, big interest in it. And I think it has to do with it's such appealing physical work. It's not staring at a screen. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that you do with your hands and physics. You know, lives in the world.
It's like a total new form of authentic cooking. And I think that even like the flavor profile, everyone knows the flavor profile. And I think it's like almost like that, you know, that sixth, sense of taste, right? So you have your sweet, your salty, your sour, your bitter, and then your umami, which is like the savory flavor profiles. But then there's this like, I've always added smoke as like this little sixth thing that like is something that is totally its own. It's none of those other things, you know?
We had this anthropologist on the show a couple of years ago, and he talked about how man is the cooking animal. You know, so we as like we're animals, you know, walking around, and then you don't get as much nutrition out of food until you cook it. Like cooking it releases all kinds of, it just makes it more bioavailable, mm-hmm. right? And so his name was Richard Wrangham, and I think he started following monkeys around, and he was a full-on like field anthropologist, Jane Goodall style. And then one day he was like, you know, could we eat what chimpanzees eat? Could we just live on this? And he tried it for a day or two, and it was just like, no, this makes us completely sick. We can't eat leaves. You know, that's not a thing that we can do. And so then he realized, you know, all of kind of modern human comes from a fire, comes from eating around a fire. And I do think that is great. Great. It's great. I'm all for it. Cooking. I would say 20-odd years into my food writing career, I'm really ready to come down on this side of things.
Makes things yummy, that's for sure.
All right. So I do want to ask you about kind of the basic, like, you just seem to be able to mix it up and make things fresh all the time. Like, that is the one thing that I sort of see wonderful restaurants will just sort of glide path into obscurity, but you don't do that.
Well, I mean, we're constantly trying to, discover. And I think that that's what kind of keeps us motivated. And, if anything, I think our restaurant is recognized as like a very motivated restaurant or a very experience driven restaurant. And the thing is like what people are experiencing in our restaurants is what we are experiencing too. And like, if it feels like it's something that's just kind of become old hat, it's like absolutely, you know, we get right on it. Like, we're like, all right, we need to change something major. We need to like just shift this in a way, even if it's back to an old way that we used to do something. We need to change the way our brains are moving, because otherwise we're just going to start walking. It's like we're all walking in a circle.
I think that's a really counterintuitive thing to do in a restaurant, because, or in any business, because something – you know, you can say that something is old hat, and another way of looking at that is it's just chugging along just fine. You know, it's not on fire. There's a real human tendency to just want to deal with the things that are, you know, requiring your greatest attention. We had a big magazine conference recently, and in print we talk about not filling silos. Like, you don't just have a books page because you have a books page. Like, you have to have an urgent reason. And if you don't have some kind of, like, but, you know, when you're in the, when you're just like, oh, okay, the books page is handled, right? You know, we'll just get on to the stuff that's more difficult. It's hard to, you know, short out, redo something that's functioning.
Yeah. I mean, it's, the thing is like, there's a comfortableness that happens when you do something for an extended period of time. And, like, we've been changing the residency every 3 months.
Yeah, the residency, for people that don't know, that's...
That's Travail's, it's a temporary home over in Uptown. Like I said, it's right next to Lowry Meats, which is right next to Birch. And it used to be the old Brad Street.
All right, so you're changing that every 3 months.
Yeah, and we change it every 3 months, and it's one of those things where, you know, you're ripping, it seems like you're ripping it out of your staff's hands, like, oh, we already know this, like, but at the same time, we've all kind of conditioned ourselves to this. Ever since anyone has ever worked for us, they know that large changes happen, like, hey, we're going to go on this little spring break, even at the old Travail, and when you come back, the whole menu is going to be changed, which is almost like opening a restaurant, right?
Yeah, that's tough to do because you have to learn all the new names of things. Yep. You have to know if people like them. All right, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back, talk about things that are difficult. We're going to talk about the big news about, you know, kind of the community coming together, a couple of big health-related things. We'll talk about that. It's tough. It's not easy, but we will do that when we come back. And we'll kind of catch up with Mike about the kind of next steps for the whole Travail enterprise. All right, when we come back. All right, so let's talk about the tough news of the week. So Jack Riebel, one of the most important chefs of the Twin Cities, is dealing with cancer. And I think it's a really tough – he's in a tough spot. You don't want to – this is not like a publicity – you know, you don't – you want to be private. You want to be with your family. You don't want a lot of attention at times like these. On the other hand, you're closely identified with your restaurant. People – the gossip in this town, and, you know, restaurant kitchens are where gossip happens, right? You've got a long, long day. You're drinking at the end of it. What are you? You know, it's an intimate world with a lot of communication happening verbally. And so Jack, you know, put up on his own Facebook post, basically to his own Facebook page, to let people know I called him, and he basically ended up saying, like, you know, let's get this out in an organized way.
Yeah.
So to let people know you've worked with Jack, not officially in one of his restaurants, but just in a lot of kind of charity events over the years. And he had a ton of people that he's worked with. He's been in the Twin Cities for 30 years. And I have a big story. You can find it on my Facebook page, Dara Doc Rumdahl. You can find it at the magazine page, mspmag.com. I've tweeted it at Dear Dara. My reading of the reaction to the piece is it really broke on generational lines. Like, a lot of older people thought, this is, you know, you don't put your private business out there.
Sure.
And then a lot of younger people were like, thank God someone is modeling how to talk about these incredibly difficult behaviors. It's really brave to talk about this stuff in public.
Yeah. And like you said, like, you know, it's one of those things too where Jack is kind of a public figure, or he's like somebody who's, you know, some people would choose not to personally talk about it, but there's, like you said, there's so many different people that are in the industry that are going to know about it because we have so many close friends. And
he's so known for going through the dining rooms and, you know, talking to everybody. Yeah. And the Lexington is a big family, I would say.
Yeah. And he just didn't want all the news. I think it was one of those things where he's like, I don't want the only news about this to be like, hey, did you hear about Jack?
It's
like, like from someone. You know, he wanted to just be like, all right, that's already happening. I can already tell. So let's just, like, put it out there. And I think... Not only is he handling it in a way that's just amazing, but I mean, your article killed it. Like, I think that was an amazing article. I read it twice, and it's touching, and it's also just it's real. It's so real, and he's a wordsmith. The way he explains.
Yeah, in the article, I talk about his rebelisms, which are just sort of things he says. Some profane, some just straight up inspirational. You know, but he going through this and talking to all of the younger men who, you know, just love him and worked for him and, you know, would die for him. This kind of feels like a military situation in some ways. Like, I mean, people are so close to him. You know, he has just inspired so many people to just give, you know, dig deep, be 100%. He's kind of a surrogate father to a solid dozen men in the Twin Cities.
And like you said, people have compared kitchen environments to like a militant. They even call it a brigade system.
Yeah.
You know, and he is definitely, if that's the case, he has definitely been one of those field generals that have just always, I mean, he was a sous chef, like in your article, it's like he was a sous chef at Goodfellas for 10 years, back when people were sous chefs for 10 years. Like, not only has he put in his time, but he's put in his time in a way that's so involved. He's taught so many people how to do so many things. And now it just feels like he's you know, it's the type of cancer that is, you know, something that you can live with for a while. And it's kind of undetermined as to how long that will actually be. But, you know, his words, and he said, you know, there's a difference between being scared and afraid, you know, and I am scared, but I am not afraid. And that's kind of that old field general way of just showing people that, you know, even all the things that I've taught you how to get through and push through, like, this is another thing that I'm going to teach you how to do, and I'm dealing with it, and it's scaring the hell out of me. But, you know, I'm not afraid of this, and I'm gonna fight this. You know,
because you've done this also at Travail. You guys are famous for, I don't know, famous. Well, you know, you've always really held family and time off as a value. You know, you close down for spring break, you close down around the holidays, and you've been really clear about we're not going to burn out. We're making space for people to have lives, and I feel like that's a new generation. Like, that's not, you know, old school was like, you know, I will die on the line before I will, you know, meet my wife at the hospital for the birth of her baby. You know, like, that was a old school way to do things. You don't do things that way.
No, and I think that's just, you know, society in general. I think the times have changed, you know, and we're probably doing it pretty early in the sense of how things have changed lately. But, like, I think that we still hold true to that. We try to make sure that people have a balance, right? And it's not an easy job. It really isn't. And even when we try to create this type of balance for people, it's still not easy. It's 4 days on, and you're there. You're on. So and then you have 3 days off. That's the Travail model. So it's just, you know, in order to produce things that are, you know, the way you want them, it takes just a whole bunch of energy and a whole bunch of time, you know.
Yeah, I feel like people are getting really more on board with this in restaurants. I talked to David Fima recently for a piece for TCB Mag, and I was very honored that he talked to me because I've said some not kind things about his restaurants in the past. But one of the things he said, that they have a full on, you know, 5 days and then two off at all times. You work 4 days and then you can work a lunch or something, but then you have to take 2 days off. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are really, like, that was not the culture even a decade ago, even with him. You know, people are really understanding that if you want to keep your business kind of slow and steady and together, you just can't be burning people out and having these, you know, various drug and alcohol related crises. And
I think, and I think that the labor pool for restaurants is changing as well. Like, I mean, I remember when I first came back to Minneapolis scene of cooking, it was about 10 years ago, and I couldn't get a job. There was no room in any kitchen. I think I staged at 112, I staged at La Belle Vie, and then Porter and Fry, and Saffron. And I was like, how do I get a job? Nobody was like, well, yeah, it's nice to, thanks for the stage. We're full.
Stage being free.
Sorry, yes.
Work, free, a chef kind of working
for free. Yeah, it's like a job shadow. It's just to see if you're a good fit. But, like, if you didn't know somebody, you weren't going to get into a restaurant. And I really didn't know anybody. I was, like, kind of new to town, but I had great experience. But it was just like, you couldn't get your foot in the door anywhere. And now it's like, chefs are just like, do you have anyone? Do you have anything that
we... And that crisis of the time ended up being a blessing, because then you ended up banding together with a couple of people and bootstrapping yourself into a real estate mogul in Robinson.
Yeah. So, I mean, we started our restaurant with, I think it was $70,000 total. It was one of those things where you trick your parents into just, you know, together. And one of my uncles kicking in some money, just enough for us to make something happen. And we found a turnkey restaurant, and we turned it into Trouvail. And I remember when we opened the doors, we had beer and wine on the shelves and food in the cooler and a menu written, and we were prepped and ready to go. But we had $2,000 in our bank account when we actually opened, and we just looked at each other like, we got to start making money because we just spent everything that everyone, you know, gave us to do this. So, and then, yeah, we just did everything we possibly could to just try to connect with people. And
that first space, you had the booths were banged together by like salvaged 2x4s and then varnish so people didn't get splinters.
Yeah, it was all auction. It was all auction everything. Like, just what can we find on auction for the cheapest price possible to refurbish or reupholster?
But now you've moved Pig Ate My Pizza into a place with even floors and chairs out of a store, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the new Pig is great. You know, it's open, you know, Tuesday through Saturday, which is new for it, and open lunch from 11 to close. So it's basically kind of changing the way that we actually run a restaurant. And but it's because it's in this bigger space. It's in the old Trouvail space that we built in 2014, and it's about 3 times the size as it used to be, and it's got a really cool, you know, refinish on it. And honestly, the brewery is like the coolest part about this. We've put a microbrewery in it, so it's a brew pub now. One of our chefs who's been with us for a long time, his name's Andy Gesh. He is heading this conquest to brew our own beer, and he's been brewing his own beer for 5 years.
And is it actually, do you have some now?
So we've been waiting on the TTB, but we've just gotten some good news, and we're probably going to have our own beer in about a month or so.
Oh, you've heard it here
finally.
First. Finally get your own beer. So if it's coming out in a month, that means it's in the tanks now.
So yeah, it's about a month and a week. We'll probably have our first one, because I think he's going to probably get his first beer out. It's a shorter brewing process of like 3 weeks. So we should be able to start brewing in 2 weeks.
Wow, that's a beginning.
Fingers
of an
crossed,
era.
Please, federal government.
I was talking to Mike from Red Table Meats. They have this new thing up at. You're hearing a lot about this Kieran's Cafe. We had Kieran in here a couple of weeks ago to talk about the opening. Now I've been. One of the things I didn't understand is that Mike Phillips of Red Table Meats, you know, our great artisanal salami producer, really. Some of the best stuff in the country, if not the world. And so he has to go, everything that he does, because it's being sold in grocery stores, has to go through all of this levels of agricultural inspection, you know, and a HAFSA plan and an ingredient checklist and all these things anyway. But now, because they have Kieran's Kitchen, he can just run experiments. And so I was in there and they just brought out this thing. It looked like a old fashioned bologna. You know, it looks like a really fat ring sausage, but it was just a big old cheddar wurst that he decided to make into a giant ring bologna. And he was like, now I can just do stuff. We can just play and throw things up front, because if you're not, you know, if you're not sending it out for distribution, if it's not going to end up at Kowalski's, the federal government kind of steps back and lets you just play and do things.
Dude, Mike's great. He makes awesome food, and once his hands touch meat, it's just magic, you know. And I love that giant cheddarwurst bologna log.
Just for fun.
I'll take a slice, please.
Yeah, exactly. He said they're going to have tureens and all kinds of things by the holidays. I can't wait. All right, so last thing that we should talk about, are you ever really going to give up the Auriga space? Are you just going to stay in there in residency forever?
You know, I don't think we have the bandwidth to have a whole other restaurant once we open the new Trouvail. I think we're going to just pass it on to someone. I mean, we put some money into the situation, and we fixed the space up to be able to be a nice usable space. So I think that
all right, so just
someone's going to get after it. I think we're going
to
let
make
it go.
Everything about me. A long time ago, I published a post and I said, we're too erratic at this point. We need to just build a restaurant space Next in Chicago, the Grand Alinea restaurant, and just have it have a totally fresh concept every 3 months.
Which is pretty much what we've been doing.
Yeah. And, you know, is it working? Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it. We've been changing every 3 months, and we're going to change it again in September. And we're working with a well-known local chef on this new concept that we want to throw out there to get us through, like, the holidays, and then we'll end up opening the new Travail. But I think that the concept of changing something constantly is it's great, and I think it keeps interest, but at the same time, it's a difficult task, we'll just say.
To reinvent yourself every 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, for the fourth, this fourth one is, I'm like, oh, man, we're doing a fourth one. Here we go. Because our construction project, obviously, is, like, taking longer than it usually does, and that's just the case of anybody's construction project. But knowing that we're going to have to do a fourth concept, I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to do it again. We've already done it 3 times, and it's just like you rip it all down, and then you build it all back up. And then, but I do like the idea. I mean, if it was something that could be like something that was collaborative, where it just a different chef comes in and does their thing.
I predict you're not going to give it up. We'll see. Ooh, if I'm right.
That's prediction.
I like it. I'm going out in public saying it all up front. All right.
She's predicting I'm having twins. That's what she's predicting right now. Travail and residency. I'm going to keep them both.
No, I think what happens, you all pull back. The core crew goes up into, and then you just keep the Auriga space as like a showcase, and then it runs out of your back office. That's what I think is going to happen. We'll see. I've been wrong before. I've often been wrong before.
That's a sweet prediction. I like that prediction. That's cool.
I have a 20-year credit.
Let's keep them guessing.
I can pull this stack of magazines off my shelf and see, you know, oh, these are the restaurants I awarded best restaurant in 2013. You know, yeah. We'll always do a top 10 of the best new restaurants of the year. Typically, after about a decade, about 3 of them are standing.
Sure.
So that's I'm batting 300. That's good, right?
Yeah. You can play for the Twins.
If they need a short lady with a big vocabulary, I'm here for you.
Second base. All right. Second base.
Anything. So I'm going to just kind of leave it with, people should go visit all of your different things. You got barbecue, you got pizza. Yeah.
I think there are, like you said, there are a lot of things happening in the little world that we have created for ourselves here. Residency is just hot right now. The Qua concept of Mexico City fine dining.
That's what's happening. The corner of Hennepin and Franklin right
that's
now.
Right.
It's a Mexico City fine dining.
And like there's a smoked pork belly sandwich at Minnesota Barbecue that everyone's like losing their mind about right now. And it's just, we're putting little ads out there to show people it, because it's like anybody who takes a bite out of it, it's like the BLT of the summer. It's
oh, really?
Awesome.
Does it have tomatoes upon it?
Sure does.
Oh.
The tomatoes are rocking right now.
It's tomato season. I have a recipe roundup of tomatoes.
They do so much work for you. There's a tomato. There's a caprizza on at Pig at My Pizza right now that is the number one seller, hands down. Everyone's just like, this is the best pizza. It's like, well, yeah, well, tomatoes are just amazing right now.
What is a caprizza? Just fresh tomatoes on a pizza?
So, yeah, it's like our house pulled mozz. There's arugula. There's a balsamic reduction. And then there's just like sliced steaks of you know, heirloom tomatoes that are just, every farmer right now is like, who wants them? You know, they're perfect. So
I need to get, I do that every year. I can't grow heirloom tomatoes because I live in the city,
right,
and the squirrels are
yep.
a marauding, destructive
I can't
force.
Because my dog will eat them. He'll just go up and just pick them like an apple and just chew them up. I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, you can't even get mad. Oh, that's terrible. Well, yeah, so I have a certain, you know, amount of money reserved, play money, just for going to the farmer's market for massive tomatoes. All right, so Mike Brown, Travail. All the things. Yeah. Pig Ate My Pizza. Thank you for coming in and talking to us about all this. All right. We come back. We will get to those tomato sandwiches. Mm. You got any tomato sandwiches? You got tips and tricks? You can text them to us. And I will read them when we come back. All right. So what are my top tomato sandwiches now in peak BLT week? Hope you're getting ready for Bacon Bash, by the way. That's September 14th. We're going to be out at the good old Osceola doing Bacon Bash. Can't wait. But what are you going to do in the meantime? Well, why not put some new things in your BLT? So these are all up at WCCORadio.com/menu. You can find them on my Facebook page, Dara.Grumdahl. All right, so I've got, I'm just going to kind of thumbnail them for you. Tomato variation on a classic muffaletta. Get some of that muffaletta olive spread. And then put that in with some really good summer tomatoes and maybe some slices of provolone. That's a sandwich. Provolone, it's on trend with me right now. You can kind of sear it in a skillet and get it a little bit crispy and bubbly. If you're not a bacon eater, that is a beautiful variation on a BLT. Takes the place of the bacon, of course. So a little fried provolone sandwich for the vegetarians in the crowd. Another nice summer option, pimento cheese. You know what that is, right? You can have that chopped pepper and cheddar cheese spread that's so big in the South. That with a big old summer tomato, that is just the best. And I have a link right now up at WCCORadio.com for Isaac Becker's famous egg and harissa sandwich from 112. So 112 is famous restaurant, wonderful. Everything about it's great. I love their fried egg sandwich. And you can put a big old summer tomato slice in there. That is the just super, super delicious thing to eat. And so those are my top tomato sandwiches. They are up at WCCORadio.com. You can go check them out right now, or they're up on my Facebook page. We come back. We'll have a very quick minute for an Ask Me Anything when we come back. All right. I got a question about who has a good Iowa-style pork tenderloin sandwich. And I really got to research this one. I wish I had an answer for you, but I do not. I don't think I've ever seen one. So I'm going to have to start working my connections, see what I can come up with you. So that is going to be I'll get back to you. All right, so here's what I need you to do. Get out your calendar. River Falls, Wisconsin, meet me there. 7th Annual Bacon Bash is happening on Saturday, September 14th. We are broadcasting live. You will see me, WCCO microphones, some other people. It's going to be, I love this festival so much. It's such, River Falls is such a lovely town, and you get to like walk around this little area where they have, it's all shady and people are cooking. It's just a lovely, lovely experience. Knock on wood for good weather. We've always had it before. September 14th. So that's where I'm going to be. Come out and see me at Bacon Bash, big WCCO event. It's so fun. Kids do this. They eat pig decorated cupcakes. So they're frosted to look like little pigs, and they put their hands behind their backs and then they eat them. It's like my favorite thing. It's so funny. And we'll kind of, they do this big cooking contest and I get very judgy. It's good times. All right. So what else is going on? Well, next week we are full on at the Minnesota State Fair. I am going to be later in the afternoon. There's a little Vikings action happening on the show, or during my time slot, rather. So I will be on from 2 to 3 doing a beer show with the Lodge Father, Ryan Tange. It's going to be really fun because they've got 37 insane beers, and I'm going to drink a couple before this whole thing happens, and I'm sure I will be very angry because I get really angry when people put candy in my beer. That's just the kind of mom I am. So I'm going to have cotton candy put in my beer. I'm getting ready for it. Until then, may no one put cotton candy in your beer unless it is an authorized activity. And I will meet you here next week on Off the Menu.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores?
How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.